From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made on July 2nd, the final night of the Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Trombone Shorty played their annual outdoor show to close out the festival, and with perfect weather, the show drew thousands of people. The location sparked some discussion. That's because this concert was performed on what the city might call Parcel 5, the former Midtown Plaza, now an empty piece of land awaiting some final development plans. And as the revelers enjoyed the music that night, some wondered why that space needs to be developed at all. Or maybe the better question is phrased this way: does development always have to mean large buildings? The city of Rochester is getting ready to make a very important decision about the heart of its downtown. Development proposals are coming in for Parcel 5. The city wants jobs out of this. They want a piece of development that will contribute to the tax base. And they recently extended the deadline for Parcel 5 proposals to September 9th. So this hour, a discussion about what would benefit the city of Rochester most on that site. Let me welcome our guest. Heidi Zimmermeyer is here. She's the president of Rochester Downtown Development Corporation. Heidi, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Benjamin Welks here, the principal at Slow Road Consulting and one of the people behind thisisnotapark.com, which we'll be talking about. Ben, nice to see you back here.
Thanks for having us.
And Ken Sato is here. He's the director of Big Picture Rochester and the director of something called City Design Lab. Is that right, Ken? Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. This is my company, and just the... I designed it to have, you know, this company is for something I can do as I want to do. But basically I do design for the public space and designing of city taste. I used to consulting of food companies here. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, originally I submitted proposal through this company.
All right, City Design Lab. And so Ken, Benjamin, Heidi all have their own ideas on what that property might end up looking like. And so let me just start with a question. In the Democrat and Chronicle, Patty Singer writes, quote, "Rochester is staring at a blank canvas. What the city creates on Parcel 5 will define downtown for the rest of this century, just as the Kodak Tower defined the city for the previous one," end quote. Heidi, do you agree with that? And how important is this decision?
Well, I'm not sure I'd put it quite that strenuously, but I would suggest this, that we clearly want in this community some kind of a central square, public space. And I think when you take a look at what millennials want, that's the workforce that's driving the whole downtown innovation zone and a lot of the new economy that we're seeing develop in this region. You need to start asking a different set of questions about placemaking, about what kinds of places we are creating with anything that we do. And that, by the way, can include parks or park-like areas, green spaces. It can include buildings that have some kind of relationship to the street. It is a very different way of thinking about our physical space than I think we have probably for the last 50 or 60 years until quite recently. So where I think the biggest questions have to be answered still have to do with the market. What will the market bear? And if the market isn't ready for certain things, like, for example, an IKEA, you know, a lot of people say, I want an IKEA,
yep,
put it on the Midtown block. And we're not likely to get that for a variety of reasons. So until such time as we know what we want and until such time as the market is ready to support certain kinds of development, you know, it's a crapshoot. I mean, are we going to allow time for the market to catch up to what we want, in which case, what can we do with this space in the meantime? And secondly, whatever we do, we've got to think about where people gather. We've got to think about where creative collisions occur, where the social side of this community has a place to act out, to have the kinds of social intercourse that make a community a great place. And so all of those things, I think, are on the table. And the interesting thing about Trombone Shorty is it exploded on social media. It's all of a sudden people woke up and said, my God, that felt great. So we need to keep that in mind as we move all this forward. And I think, you know, we'll see what comes in from the RFP process. And, you know, that'll be on the city's docket to determine. But I do think that people will have an opportunity to speak out at various points. Whatever happens, a piece of land that's involved in Parcel 5 will have to be sold. And city council will have to approve that. There's a whole process that's going to be involved, is my surmise. And so we need to be, we need to keep aware of that as a community.
Okay. Ben, what do you make of Patty Singer's remark that this could shape downtown or at least be kind of an iconic downtown space for the better part of this century?
I mean, 100 years is a lot to think about. I'm normally a little bit more immediately focused on the here and now. And, you know, being in Rochester myself for about 27 years, the majority of my life, you know, having a relationship with downtown, living in the suburbs, you know, having the very few places that would actually draw me downtown, like Java's on Gibbs Street as a teenager, and then later when I was 21, Tappan Mallet in the South Wedge. And then later moving to downtown, I've been living here for about 7 or 8 years. We are absolutely at an incredibly critical juncture, and this decision absolutely is going to affect Main Street. And already we're seeing the signs of part of the evolution of downtown. We're seeing what it's like for people to actually call downtown homes, specifically to Parcel 5 and in Midtown. 2,000 apartments are going to be built between the Sibley Building, between the Metropolitan, which is the Chase Tower, and then also Tower 280. And so now people are actually starting to call that land their home, and it's completely changing the feeling and the nature of that space. But I, you know, from my standpoint, the most important thing that can possibly happen to downtown is that we have an active Main Street, and that, you know, for 20 years I've been hearing that there's nothing to do downtown, so it's time to change that conversation. And obviously we believe that the best way to do that is actually to continue the positivity that's already been generated from events like the Jazz Festival, which just kicked this thing into, fast forward, and give people a chance to find a place they can gather and interact with one another right in the heart of the city.
Ken, how important do you think this decision will be?
I think this is going to be symbolic in any way, like what we make here, how we're going to develop things here. It's going to be very symbolic about Rochester. So we are representing people's voice. The people demand me to put this proposal again. You know, I submitted this idea 2 years ago, and nobody really reacted. But, you know, after the Jazz Fest concert, you know, thousands of people reacted to me, like, oh, why don't we just submit this idea again? So we are trying to put the proposal together, and, you know, trying to city to listen, you know, people's voice.
All right, so what I want to do is work through some of the specifics of what Ken and Ben are talking about. And, you know, Heidi Zimmermeyer is not here with specific proposals in mind, more of just a general overview on how I think the business community, how the downtown community would react to certain things, and we can work through that. Listeners, I want to let you know a couple of things. First of all, I'd love to hear from you about what you want to see at Parcel 5 and downtown, what makes the most sense. And again, it's probably not going to be an IKEA. Right, Heidi? I mean, probably not an IKEA. That's come up many times. But what do you want to see there? 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI. If you're in Rochester, 263-9994. We couldn't get someone from City Hall to come in on the program today, but probably understandably so. I mean, they're still accepting proposals through September 9th, and so, you know, I don't think they're going to come in here and say, this looks great, not so sure. I mean, this is not yet the time for them to do that. But, Heidi, how quickly do you expect the process to move once we get into September?
I don't know the internal process that the city will be using. We have a new administration, and they've got a system set up internally, so we're not aware of how that's going to work. But I do think that we got to recognize that there are a lot of issues on the table, and you outlined some of them in the introduction, that it's complicated, that we've got an administration that's very focused on the creation of jobs, on growing the city tax base, and we lost on both those counts for decades in the city. So I think we all need to recognize how important those things are. And the question becomes, you know, what are the alternatives at this site? Who can bring a proposal to the table that's fundable, that has financial resources, that would create something that in the city's vision would work on that site? And conversely, is there a physical structure that it could accomplish some of the same things? And so I think the jury's out. We haven't seen the proposals other than the one the two gentlemen here are representing. But I just think all of those things need to be respected and kept on the table, also recognizing that Trombone Shorty event blew the lid off this discussion.
You really, Ben said that, you've said that. It really did sort of move the meter on what the public is maybe imagining in that space, Heidi?
I think that definitely happened. So I think that now has become a factor. and all of these discussions, and we'll see how that plays out with the decision-making process inside City Hall. And I'm not party to that, so I can't speak to it.
All right, the phones are, I don't like using the word blowing up, but they're sort of blowing up. and Deprina is trying to keep up with it, and I see her back there. You're doing a great job, Deprina. And I promise, listen, if you're calling, we're going to work through your phone calls. Be patient. But I want Ben and Ken to kind of lay out their vision as well, because we do have a chance to hear one specific proposal. ThisIsNotAPark.com is a website where you can check out what it may look like. It's not a park, Ben Welk?
It's not just a park. And, you know, obviously we're a little tongue-in-cheek with deciding that as part of our campaign name. But really the reasons behind that are the fact that we don't have a public realm designed for the 21st century in Rochester. You know, we don't actually have parks that were designed in the 21st century downtown. And, you know, some of the discussions have been, well, you know, why can't you reanimate MLK / Manhattan Square Park? You know, why can't that be brought back? What about Manhattan Square Park? And Washington Square. People don't understand that in the case of, you know, Washington Square Park, we're talking about a park that's 100 years old that hasn't been active in a very, very long time. I know of very small prepared food markets that went there. And in the situations like MLK and Manhattan Square Park, you're actually looking at documented poor planning decisions. People don't feel safe in a park that's not visible from street level. And so that's documented by people like William White and the Street Life Project and founders of the public spaces movement like Fred Kent. They actually, you know, went through. And interestingly, Bryant Park, which is a model that we're looking at, was redone in the 1980s. Because of the same type of issues. It wasn't visible from street level. It became a place that actually there were issues of drug dealing and crime that were there. There were hedgerows that made the park feel unsafe. And through the Rockefeller Brothers Foundation, they actually funded the redevelopment of that park. So really what we're trying to say is that this is more than just a park. This is a public square. And really, arguably, this is the most important piece of real estate in the city of Rochester. It's a chance to gather people in the heart of downtown. And part of our ideas, too, which we'll get a little bit into, are to activate a small business core. You know, we talk a lot about development. We talk a lot about buildings. But one of the things, you know, we're really not considering, and for those that know that area, is there's hundreds of thousands of square feet of available space right now in all of the surrounding buildings, including the newly rebuilt Tower 280. Almost the entire first floor of the Sibley building is available. The entire concourse is available in the Metropolitan Chase Tower. There, you know, Project DHD Ventures is working on a building on Elm Street. So there are hundreds of thousands of available residential, commercial, and retail space. So the question that I actually have is, why are we even looking at proposals that are going to be building redundant space?
Hold on. But before we continue,
sure.
Is the word redundant fair there, Heidi?
Well, I think there's no question that when we advise developers, and we work with a lot of them, we don't advise the creation of office space. Net new office space. And what's actually happened in the market is a lot of the buildings, 48 of them to be exact, since the year 2000 alone, 48 buildings downtown have been converted or are being converted to housing. And they were once commercial space. So there's been a right sizing and a downsizing of the commercial market in downtown for quite some time. And that's been happening organically in the marketplace. So we wouldn't be recommending office space unless you had identified a very specific user, like the Democrat and Chronicle Media Group or Windstream or something like that, that came in and said, we want this space. So I think
could that happen?
Could you build an office building?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Somebody
could build an office building. Yeah. I think that there's no question we have a lot of excess office space in the market. We have a lot of housing coming online. And, you know, what we don't have, and this is where things get complicated, retail is something we ought to be talking about in this, because if you're talking about activating street-level spaces, what goes into those spaces? You don't put just back-office operations, because that doesn't activate anything. And merchandise retail is not coming back in mid-sized cities around the country that have a lot more housing than we do. It's very, very slow. The whole retail sector has shifted. So what is coming back are food and more active kind of operations like that that draw people in, coffee houses and cafes and things of that sort. That's what seems to be sparking in downtowns and mid-sized cities. And so whatever we do on that block, if it helps to activate that kind of thing, if it's that sort of, for example, if a building were to go up on Parcel 5, but it had this incredible orientation to the street, and by the way, you don't have activities in a place like that unless somebody's programming them. I mean, Trombone Shorty was done by, you know, John Nugent and Mark Iacona as part of the Jazz Fest. When they're not organizing things, who's going to create that? And so that's the other piece of this, is that it's not just about creating, in any case, a passive green space or gathering space. Mm-hmm. There has to be a vehicle way beyond the day when you cut the ribbon to actually put activity on that space. You can't just say, well, we'll bring some food trucks in and put some benches out and people will sit there and eat at noon. It's got to be much more activated than that. So that's the other part of the equation.
All right, so let me turn back to Ben and Ken, and then listeners, I promise we're coming to you on the phones, but let's let Ben and Ken then respond to some of what they just heard from Heidi and continue to lay out what this looks like. Their proposal, which is not just park. I'll start with you, Ken. Why don't you respond to some of what you just heard, and Ben, you can do that as well. And again, I want you to lay out for the listeners as best you can. Mm. If you are the successful bid here, if you're the successful proposal, what this ends up looking like. Go ahead, Ken.
So it's going to be like a beautiful community space with small business core. This small business core is like a lot of small micro space for retail or, you know, restaurants. Or it's like maybe 200 square foot or 400 square foot, very small but cheap rent. So the people here, like small business, can get in very easily, rent and start business. And we want to have tens of this kind of small business in that space. So that's like difference between just a park or our space in a square. It's more vibrant and more activities going on. And at the same time, we have, you know, we have a shopping area, an eating area. And at the same time, you have a, you know, events area. And a jazz fest is going to come, or fringe festival is going to come. You know, music, you know, arts are always there. So we get like synergy effect, you know. People come for events and shop here, and some people come for shopping and they go to the events.
Okay. And if you want to look at what they're conceptualizing, this is not a park.com is mm-hmm. where you can see more. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah. And so just picking off, you know, what Ken just said, I think really what we're looking for is a constant center of activity. I think that's the most important thing to downtown that we could possibly contribute. And I think the way that we're going to do that is, you know, the idea of having 30 or more different small business entities that would be integrated with a lush green space, you know, surrounded by the skyscrapers and Parcel 5. You can't beat the view. There's nowhere else in the city that looks like that. But we've talked about ideas of even broader regional representation. And some of the ideas that get me really excited is the idea of doing like a Finger Lakes wine bar, you know, in the heart of Parcel 5, a brewery that sponsors an outdoor beer garden. We've talked about year-round uses, you know, looking at how places like Bryant Park activate their space in the middle of winter. They have, you know, Christmas markets and holiday markets and other things like that that people come and actually shop at. Kids can go ice skating. They have modular tents that they pop up that become little bistros and places where people can get warm after they've been outside in the elements a little bit more. So really what we're talking about is year-round potential. And again, I think it's time, you know, we really do see this being active 365 days a year. I think it's time that we start to embrace the fact that we live in a city like Rochester and we live in the Northeast. I had a chance to travel up to Ottawa and go to their Winterlude in the middle of February and March. And again, you know, place they have multiple site locations that they do for that, ice carvings, you know, again, heated areas where people can actually sit. So we see a constant source of activity that's a combination of a small business core, a green space that's free for recreation and play, and also something that unifies and centers the arts in Rochester, including performing arts. We can have, you know, obviously musicians on a stage, but we can also have Shakespeare in the Park. We can activate things like Movies with the Downtown View that already are happening downtown twice a year. But what does that look like if you put that in the heart of downtown?
And who's going to be the activator? You, Ken?
Well, I think, you know, Ken can talk a little bit more. He's already in the process of formalizing a 501c3 that's going to be a nonprofit entity that would maintain this park. And one other piece, too, that I just want to hit quickly is on the idea of this being nonprofit and the idea of tax revenue. It has been proven time and time and time again that green spaces add economic value to the heart of downtown specifically. And what they actually do is they raise the property tax value directly adjacent to the places where they're built. They draw young workers who are interested in staying. They draw retirees. And there are cases, places like Chattanooga, Tennessee, that in the 1980s was a very polluted city, had issues of clean air quality, didn't have a lot of trail infrastructure, didn't have a lot of park infrastructure. They invested in green space and public gathering spaces and actually yielded a 127% increase in their property values. So I have no concern that the city is going to get their tax revenue out of this in the long term. Olmsted has been was the first in the 19th century to go and actually study the relationship between Central Park and how that actually added to the real estate market. The city made money, you know, through the municipality as part of that. So really, you know, again, we really see that this park is going to be not only a social center of activity and the life and pulse of downtown Rochester, but also a place that's going to benefit the economy and actually bring people back to downtown and begin to fill the vacant storefronts that we were mentioning before.
All right, Ken, anything you want to add there?
Yeah, I think Ben, you know, talked about it, you know, very well, explained very well. But, you know, if we, say, build a building over there, it's going to be probably $500,000 tax revenue, or maybe less. And so that's just the 0.05% of city tax revenue. So, you know, losing that part is not that big. And so city, also we have to think about it. How are we going to spend money? You know, it's a city government has money, doesn't mean people in the city are having money. So city spend $1 million to renovating a small pocket park in near the public library right now, but that's $1 million, you know, price tag, and so that's 2 years of, I mean, so way we spending money is, we have to be really think about it. Government spending money not necessarily efficient, but we are not for profit. You know, we're going to spend very money efficiently, and I think that's going to be huge difference. And we are not going to use tax dollars, you know. So all, you know, everything run by donations, so in-kind donations. So when we do that, we're providing private people providing public service. It's no tax.
Okay. But last question before we go to the phones, just to clear up a few things here, because you're hearing one specific proposal. Heidi, do we know how many proposals may be out there?
I don't have an answer to that. Okay. I know there are several, but I don't know how many.
Okay. And so this is the most public one that I've seen. We get a chance to discuss it. Heidi is not here to endorse any specific proposal, but just to add her expertise and insight from Rochester Downtown Development Corporation. Do you listen to what Ben and Ken are saying, and do you at least say, look, they're doing their homework, they're looking at other cities, they're trying to assess the city's needs for a tax base, and it looks like a serious proposal?
I think it does. I'll tell you the one thing that I would encourage you guys to do when you're submitting all this is that you got to answer the question directly of how it gets funded. And you've answered it, but it hasn't. I don't think it's going to be as easy. My read would be for the city to approve something like this unless you have a real sense of money in hand or definite contributors. There, you know, this concept of approving something that's wishful thinking, I think, would likely worry city decision makers. So that's the other side of it, is that it's in terms of creating the business plan and getting the funding part of this nailed down more, I think that likely will carry significant weight. And you've got to figure what other alternative proposals are coming in, and they're likely to have answered that question pretty robustly. So that in terms of what you're up against in a process like this, I think the ability to fund what you're talking—it's not. I don't think anybody would disagree with the concept. I mean, it's sort of mom and apple pie from an urban development standpoint. It's the question of financial viability, the proposal, and the perception of that. So those are things that I think you're gonna want to take a look at. I know, likely the other submitters are hard at that.
Yeah, and one thing, you know, that we have heard is that there are going to be other green space RFPs as part of this that are going to be submitted in part from the local development community. So, you know, again, even in the case of Bryant Park, one of the things that we studied from a business model standpoint is there was initial money that was put in to get the park built. But in 2001, they actually began generating the largest portion of their revenue from their merchandise fees, like their leases to those small business that occupy their little vestibules and things like that in the park, and their usage fees. So actually over 35% of their budget was contributed just from that fee alone. So again, you know, we talk about the financial viability of green space, and that's a tough thing to try to put in parameters, but I think the fact that this is going to have the small business core intact is going to really actually help us to do that. And then that money will be used to maintain and fund the park.
I mean, the Bryant Park area also has a business improvement district that collects money from the surrounding towers. Mm-hmm. And in New York City, that's considerable. I mean, the budget is massive. Mm-hmm. For Bryant Park. I've seen it. So I think scaling that concept to a level where it makes sense in a market like ours will be another challenge for the proposal. And again, I don't think there's anybody that questions the need for a public square, for a center of the community. We're all feeling this. And I would say it's even stronger with people coming in millennial generation that want social interaction places. And the lack of retail vibrancy on the street is driving a lot of questions about how can you jumpstart that? Mm-hmm. How can you create spaces that work? But again, that you're going to need to take a look at, and the question of who's going to be managing the space, and exactly how does that work? Because these things require staff and they require funds, and it doesn't mean that it can't happen. It mm-hmm. just means that it's got to be carefully articulated.
All right, you can learn more at thisisnotapark.com. You're going to submit this proposal when, Benwell?
September 9th. So we're in the process of working with a really talented team, people with RFP, governmental financial backgrounds, landscape architects, urban planners, and others to really try to hone this proposal to really justify our case. And it will go in on September 9th. We'll be building the public campaign all the way through whenever the city actually announces that they'll be deciding those proposals. So we'll push it beyond just September 9th. But people can actually add their name is what we're asking, to demonstrate a outpouring of community support for our proposal. We're asking people to go to thisisnotapark.com and actually just click add your name, and your name will join the 650 so far that we've collected that we'll be submitting along with that RFP on September 9th.
We did reach out to some other developers and people in the business community locally in various ways. They're choosing so far, based on various reasons, not to be on this program yet, but we're not trying, again, I like Ben, I know him very well, but I'm not trying to favor any specific proposal. We just want people to know what is out there. I'm way late for a break. We've got to get to a break, and when we come back, your phone calls for the rest of the hour. Questions and ideas about what happens on Parcel 5 in the heart of downtown Rochester. Coming up in our second hour, NPR and its local stations like WXXI and WEOS need younger audiences well into the future if we are going to sustain our programming and to grow. So no matter how old you are, the question of building younger audiences should matter to you, and we will explore how to do that next hour. And in particular, we want to hear from younger listeners. What are your consumption habits? Let's talk about it next hour. Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, talking Parcel 5 downtown, and Benjamin Welk and Ken Sato are here. They are working together on thisisnotapark.com. Their proposal for Parcel 5 is a combination of green space, small business space, and you can learn more at thisisnotapark.com. Heidi Zimmermeyer is the president of Rochester Downtown Development Corporation, and to the phones we go. Let me start with Stephen in Rochester. Go ahead, Stephen.
Hi. I had a question about the use of Martin Luther King Square, and I think Washington Square was also mentioned, and it was addressed. But I would like it if the panel could expand on how another park would add to downtown.
Sorry, in your view, Stephen, are you looking at the current park space and thinking we've got enough?
I guess I would say that. I feel like there are enough open spaces downtown and even outside of just downtown. Like the idea of the winter market at Bryant Park was brought up as a way to sell it, and I feel like that already happens at the public market, which isn't too far away. But I understand it's a downtown focus thing. So I'd like to hear your thoughts.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. Ben, why don't you hit that again, or Ken or Ben, because I know, and then we'll get back to Heidi as well, but I know you kind of addressed that, Ben, when you said we're not apples to apples with these park spaces for various reasons.
Right. I mean, we're holding on to, you know, when we speak to downtown, the two most parks of any substantial size whatsoever are Martin Luther King and Manhattan Square, which is the same park, by the way, just so people know. It was renamed recently. And then we have Washington Square. Those are not centers of activity, and I'll continue to say that. They have aspects of them which are positive. MLK does have a little ice skating rink that people can use, and through the programming of people like the Rochester area, it's Movies with the Downtown View. They were able to bring close to 500 people through their first showing this year, but they only do that twice a year.
And the city summer concert series.
Yeah, city summer concert series as well. That's important to mention, yeah. It's not the heart of downtown. And it's not on Main Street. And, you know, our focus for this project is, again, this is not a park. It's a central square for Rochester. And it's cities of the future. And you can look at many of those in the context of our website. This is, you know, thisisnotapark.com also mentions where this works. And we reference a lot of other projects around the country. Cities of the future need public realms designed for the 21st century. And they have to be more than just parkland. In reference to the public market, huge public market supporter, the irony about the public market is it actually doesn't have any green space. It's a black asphalt top, and they, are, of course, are pouring lots of money in to continue to make that amenity. But the public market's hours are also limited. You know, it's something that you do only specific days of the week, and the rest of the week it's closed. And so, again, we want to animate a core where we think it's the most important place to animate a core. And that's right in the heart of downtown. And on that note, too, we've said before in other talks and with other people that what we're really trying to advocate for is actually continuing a tradition of public shared space at Midtown. Midtown was a place that has been symbolic to this community. It's brought people from the suburbs downtown for a long time. Obviously, the format of a 1950s mall ran its course, but there's no reason why we can't look at an outdoor version of this that has a life of its own and has the ability to bring people and again, offer a wide range of things that people can connect with and do.
Ken.
Something we got too much in downtown is parking, not park. You know, it's not enough park. You know, Manhattan, you know, the most expensive real estate in the United States, they got 6% are Central Park. And so the downtown Rochester is 500 acres. So we should have like 30 acres of parkland in downtown Rochester. But in the Washington Park, Washington Square is 1 acre, probably Manhattan, probably 3 acres. So you know, we don't have enough green space.
Okay, Heidi?
Just a quick note that when Midtown Block was redesigned, it was designed to have a public space, not being called a park, but a public space, and all of the streets on that space are meant to be able to be used duplicatively, meaning during the day it's, you know, like a traditional street, you can park along it and maybe food trucks at noon kind of thing. And there's some area that's not heavily used, but seating and a few trees and stuff like that. But on a weekend, for example, you could have a major concert there, even or some kind of a performance, even if there is a building built on Parcel 5. So the concept to use that block as a key main gathering place has been there from since the time that the mall was taken down. So I think that the concept, I think everybody buys into. And that the again, I can't say how important it is that whatever green space or park space or public space we're talking about, you have to be able to program it. These things don't happen automatically. That's the other piece.
All right. I just want to let our listeners know, every phone line is filled. I could read emails for the next 3 hours. Wow. Please keep it moving because we have a lot of people who want to be engaged with this. So let's keep it moving. Carly, next up. Go ahead, Carly.
Hi. I have a few comments. First, for Ken and Ben, I think on a micro level, your idea sounds amazing, by the way.
Thanks.
I think, just coming back from New York City in the last week, Bryant Park has, for example, like people who have games to rent. I think giving people something to do is a great idea. Maybe have some chess tables or checker tables that are just always there, things that are free that allow people to exist in the space without having to pay for something, and I think that'll bring other things along. On a macro level, speaking to Heidi, I think Rochester is really missing something. We have a lot to eat and we have a lot to shop, but sometimes there isn't much to do beyond that. And I know my husband and I, a lot of times we travel because we want something to do and not just go out to eat every night or, you know, buy things. So those are my comments.
Thanks, Carly.
Well said.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you know, one of the things, we had a meeting with the team last night, and we were just talking in general about, you know, the administration's potential views on our project. And obviously, we haven't heard anything. We hope that they're favorable, but we're going to do the best we can to submit a strong RFP. But one of the things that actually came up is that when Mayor Warren ran for public office, she talked a lot about the idea of two Rochesters. And it was it obviously struck a chord with many people, and you know, I think there's a lot we can see about our city that there are still certainly neighborhoods that are very divided from the ones that are prosperous. Part of the idea for this park is absolutely to look at the idea of taking two Rochesters and make it one, and to make it one where it actually makes sense in the heart of our downtown at Main Street. And on the comments about it being free and equitable, yeah, I think any good green space has to have that. If you want to come and, you know, lay out a blanket in the grass and sit under the you know, skyscrapers, if you want to throw a frisbee, which we've actually seen. The funny thing is we've already seen people doing some of these things with a debris-covered lot. There's wiffle ball games that are being played between companies in Rochester. There's, you know, we saw somebody throwing a frisbee the other night there. You know, it's already, this place kind of has its own life, and I actually think the fact that so many people are showing such a strong interest in it continues to show that there's a huge potential for people to want to take ownership of the space and to actually want to find a you know, that active sense of belonging.
Is this official name, by the way, Visionary Square? Is that the idea?
Rochester Visionary
Square. Rochester Visionary Square, and Visionary Square is the Twitter handle. Go ahead.
I think active management is key. You have to actively manage the site. You have to have events all the time. You have to have special things there. You have to have themes, amenities like games. You know, it's not gonna. It doesn't cost a lot of money, but like, if somebody there take caring space all the time, it makes so much difference.
Okay, Mike and Irondequoit next. Go ahead, Mike.
Interesting listening. My frustration is, this is the wrong time to have this conversation. The right time was back at the beginning. This is like building a house. We had the walls up. Oh, what kind of roof do we want? What kind of windows do we want? This conversation should have put this in place long ago. And that's my two cents worth.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mike. How do you agree or disagree there?
Yeah, but, you know, we weren't ready. As a community, we're ready to talk about these kinds of things now. And I think the density downtown is part of the answer to that.
Sure. And Mike, you know, I think we can all take the point, but we are where we are now, and they're trying to move forward as best we can. Two quick written comments before we get back to the phones. Matt on Twitter says, I'm happy millennials love Trombone Shorty at Parcel 5 and use social media to say so, but business decisions require more than that. And I take that point, and I also want to read what Tim in Pittsford write. Tim writes, I would like some green space down there, but Ben seems to want to generate a tax base by raising the taxes of the businesses or the residents of the people working and living next to or near that space. Also, he said fees on vendors would help. Is Ben aware of the county and the state we live in? I'm going to go out on a limb and say the residents of the city, which does include people living outside the East Ave, Park Avenue areas as well, are not big fans of even higher taxes. That's Tim in Pittsford. Ben?
I mean, again, we're talking about property value taxes being increased. So to me, the opposite of that argument is you want property values to drop in the city of Rochester. So you want less economic development and investment that's going to actually happen. So it's not a good argument. What we need to do as a city is we need to move forward and recognize that we need to activate a economic core that brings opportunities. Again, we're talking about actually creating job opportunities through the creation of a small business core, and we're trying to work our hardest to actually program the surrounding spaces that are currently vacant by giving them a reliable source. If they're looking out their store windows and they're seeing a constant center of activity, then those businesses are going to feel more confident about moving downtown and creating their businesses here. So we're interested in prosperity, and we're interested in people being able to call Main Street their home.
Ken?
You know, generally, like, this is my personal opinion, but we should lower the tax. And then one way to do so is not spending tax. We are not proposing to use any tax dollars. You know, this is going to be everything voluntary, you know, voluntary we're going to make it, you know, private activities. This is not privately funded, you know. So that's important things, because if you spend money, you have to tax somebody, you know. So if, you know, other, you know, competitor, you know, wants to spend large amount of money to build and which not going to be paid, you know, pay tax or potentially operational difficult. You know, that's not something I'm trying to do. Like, we're trying to make a operation, you know, sustainable, self-sustainable space.
Sure. All right. And Heidi, your thoughts on Tim's concern about taxes?
Just a quick note about taxes. Your property value reflects your ability to lease and what you're able to lease those spaces for. So theoretically, your property tax doesn't go up unless the market improves for the space that you have mm-hmm. in a particular building. So in the end, whatever is built there, whether it's this is not a park or whether it's another really great project, if it increases the ability to lease space, then everybody wins.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Robert in Rochester thinks you might be shooting too big. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I'd like to make two quick points. First, all the comparisons, and again, you guys are aspirational, which is great, but the comparisons to Bryant Park, that's an almost 10-acre site, and the site you're talking about is barely over one. The images you're showing on your site, this is not a park, are like lifted from Bryant Park, but they're not at all proportioned, and there's an old expression, squeezing 10 pounds of potato into a 5-pound sack. You know, you're squeezing 10 pounds of potato into a 1-pound sack, and it's just not going to work for all the things you would wish to have there. The other thing is that you're really talking about 6 months where it's not going to be operational for all the things you'd like to have. You can have Christmas things, but it's just, you know, after Fringe Fest, you're not going to have anything there outside. And, Christmas tents and all this, it's only a 1.5-acre parcel. So I just think you're really putting something way too aspirational there on too small a thing. And the comparisons to Bryant Park just don't wash.
All right, Robert, thanks for the phone call. Benjamin Wilk, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that is important for perspective, and I appreciate it being mentioned, is the fact that this is only a 1-acre site.
1.17.
Yeah, so just over 1 acre. So it's amazing, you know, that we're sitting here and we're having a conversation about this property because it is small. But, you know, to some of the points that were made, William White, who again was one of the founders of the public space movement, talked about the fact that in smaller cities, it's even more important that you have a more concentrated and dense core. So the idea that we're trying to take some of these elements and we're trying to put them into a site that's a little over an acre, I don't see that as a negative. Again, right now we're talking about current conditions. The current conditions of Parcel 5 in downtown are there are a very few amount of retailers. I would venture to guess less than 15% full in terms of retail space that's available that's actually occupied. We are creating an amenity directly for the people who are going to be living there and occupying the 2,000 apartments that are currently being built.
But Robert thinks you're not going to be able to use this for good parts of the year. And I know you addressed that, but go ahead. Hit
yeah,
that again.
I mean, it's worth discussing again. I don't enjoy being holed up in my house all year. I still choose to live in Rochester, New York. The winters ebb and flow here. We were graced with what I would consider, and I think many, a very, very mild winter this past year, and the year before was brutal. But again, that being said, you know, I go to Ottawa in February. I'm not scared of the snow. I'm used to it after 20 years here. And I think that, you know, we have to have things that are active year-round.
You're saying to Robert, who thinks that apart from Christmas celebrations, you wouldn't have anything there, you're saying not true?
Yeah, I don't think that's true at all. I think that, you know, we're going to have recreational opportunities year-round. And I think one of those things we talked about is possibly having a public ice skating rink, places where you can get a hot coffee or hot chocolate, heated areas where people can sit to be warm and go back in and outside. And that doesn't include all the things that are less than a block away, literally facing Parcel 5.
And maybe this is where good programming comes in and good management, yep, yep. Ken.
Yeah, I mean, like a snow festival. It's like very big in Sapporo, Japan. It's like in a very cold city. But like millions of people come to the kind of festivals, you know, maybe snow slidings and, you know, cross-country skis. Like, we have to change the, attitude of, you know, throughout the winter time. Like, we have to be inside our house. Not necessary. You can go out and, you know, what we get is what we get, and we're trying to enjoy this city. We have to do that.
I'd add one quick thing just in general about that block. While the site itself may be 1.17 acres, whatever is done by way of activity on that block could probably utilize all of the rest of the public space and mm-hmm. the streets at certain points, mm-hmm. too. You don't need the streets when it's not a business day. So I think the site's probably effectively larger than just Parcel 5 in the end.
I agree.
Got to keep it going quickly here. Dawn in Rochester next. Go ahead, Dawn.
Hi, yes. I have two comments. One, Heidi Zimmermeyer commented earlier about the city of Rochester being a new administration, and we don't quite know their processes. And to me, that's a big problem lately, living in the city of Rochester and trying to get things done. We have so many new people at City Hall that we really don't know these people, and they don't know us, and we don't know what they're doing anymore. It seems like this has come about after the fact because of a casino being proposed, because they were going around about doing their job without public input. And another comment is about City of Cleveland. They just developed their Center Square Park, which is beautiful. If you watch the RNC, you would have seen a lot of public attention to that park, good and bad, but it was created in a way that it has multiple uses as well. And I'm all for a public space in downtown Rochester.
Dawn, thank you. And you're not only right about the Cleveland part, which is my hometown, but Ben mentioned, or Ben's and Ken's website, thisisnotapark.com, links to other cities that draw some comparison and inspiration. Cleveland was on that list. So you're right about that, Dawn. But when it comes to the city's process, I don't think Heidi was maligning the city. I think the point was just to say, we don't know exactly how fast it will go. That's all, I think, the context of that comment. But Heidi, I've gotten a couple of emails from people saying, you're all wasting your time. The city's made its decision. It's going to be a casino performing arts center. I don't know that that's the case.
I would not assume that at this point. I think let's just watch how the whole thing plays out. I think the extension of the deadline opened the door to different ways of thinking about that site. So I do believe the city is open to a variety of things. So okay. I don't think it's a done deal.
Right. Ben, are you concerned that the city is going in that direction?
I certainly hope not. And, you know, one of the things I think it's very important that we're all aware of is one of the reasons that they're not headed that direction was because of public outcry. 12,000 signatures is, I think, the estimate I've heard that were submitted to the city to say, please do not put a casino downtown. On that note, we're trying to build public support, you know, for our project. We want to see the masses be able to come and add their name to this proposal. And we want to really demonstrate to the city of Rochester that the citizens of Rochester and people who would come to Rochester, so people, you know, outside of the city as well, that would see this as a valuable place to come have some level of downtown interpretation, that they would actually come and invest in that. And just one other thing, too. I just want to emphasize the fact that what we're really trying to do is talk about a very, very feasible development. Of all the development ideas for Parcel 5, a park is going to be the thing that's going to be.
Wait, you keep calling it, this is not a park.
I
do. You got to get your branding
down,
man.
Park, you're right. And I should know that because I have a marketing background. But it doesn't work all the time. But, you know, there is going to be a free green space or park component to this and a small business core.
You called it a public square.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Public square, I think, is a great name. See, the thing is, Bryant Park in New York City, they understand that when you say park, you don't just mean a grass lawn.
And I understand the point of This Is Not a Park is to get away from the stereotype of just a couple of benches, a little shrubbery, a little green space.
Right.
Something more meaningful, programmed, designed, and business friendly.
Right.
I take that point. Let's try to get a couple more quick comments. You got to move quickly. Ralph in Rochester. Go ahead, Ralph.
Oh, hello. Thank you very much. I love hearing these ideas. I just want to say that real boots on the ground, I was just driving to the University of Rochester, went under the underpass on South Avenue, and we have all these connecting neighborhoods. We have the importance of bringing the inclusivity of diverse people that would come to any park in the close proximity, but yet the connecting avenues, such as that one underneath the underpass, is abhorrent to look at. How are we going to connect and bring pedestrians in that live only a half a mile or a quarter a mile and build an infrastructure that supports that with neighborhoods that are really part of all that's being thought of and in a much more grandiose way? But until we make it safe and attractive to have people who live close by walk to these venues, everything else falls apart. And I think that's really important, and it's very true as you go out radially from various locations in downtown Rochester to pay attention to how do people get who are really part of the community to the places you want them to be and to be part of the parks, the development, the retail, all of that. I think it's a critical problem. Maybe it's not being overlooked, but I don't see any changes.
All right. Ralph, thank you. Heidi Zimmermeyer, is that a fair analysis?
I there's no question. I mean, we do have a brand-new bus terminal so people can come in by bus, but that assumes you have the money to do that or you've got a bus card or whatever. But, you know, we have one of the poorest cities in the country, and downtown's in the middle of that. And in the end, it's going to be about thousands of incremental projects and ideas to make the city livable.
And Kevin writes to the program and points to La Ciudadela in San Juan as a perfect example of something that doesn't have to be just a park or just development. He says there are incredible examples of other cities of private development that have dynamic public spaces incorporated into site design. So he points to San Juan, but I don't think Ben would necessarily disagree with that idea. And again, you can see what they think are some of the models and examples if you check out their site, thisisnotapark.com. Again, we're not endorsing that, and I'd love to hear from more of the proposals. We hope as we go forward, once we get news of more of these proposals, they'll come in, they'll tell us, because clearly with the phone calls, the phones are still ringing and the show music is on. I mean, people want to do another hour on this. Heidi, you're not surprised.
Not surprised.
Every time we talk about this, people are engaged. So this is not the end of the Parcel 5 discussion. Clearly the heart of downtown is on the minds of people far and wide in our community. Ben, yeah. Ken, thank you for being here. Much more to say going forward. Heidi Zimmermeyer, always great to see you, Heidi. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Downtown Development.
Thank you very much.
All right, more connections next.